when we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, we'll be reading from tonight. Revelation 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 14, Lord willing, on a message I've titled here from the text, There Stood a Lamb, Revelation chapter 5. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter 5, starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power. Be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now, God, that you help me. Lord, anoint me for just a few minutes to be able to expound upon this text. Lord, that you'll be glorified and magnified in it. And Lord, may we come away from this service realizing just what a mighty God that we serve. For these things we ask in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And amen. You can be seated. Well, I'll tell you, friends, this passage of Scripture, this chapter here in the book of Revelation, it brings me great joy, and my chills run down my spine when I start reading this, and it's exciting things. But we have here the Apostle John. Now, we know the Apostle John was the one that walked there with the Lord. He often referred to himself as that one that Jesus loved. And what a wonderful thing to realize that Jesus loves you. John understood that. And as we know, he's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. They were living under the Roman rule, and Domitian was their emperor. And John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because he'd been preaching about Jesus. And so he was cast away there on that island, really sentenced, it was a death sentence. On Patmos, they would sentence you to bust rocks. That's what you did, bust rocks day and night. And they would take the rocks and load them on ships, and they would take them across there, and they would build those Roman roads with those. Well, that's what John was doing. And it's hard to say exactly how long John was there, but we read right in the very beginning of Revelation that he meets Jesus there. He's on the Lord's Day. And the Lord comes, and he falls down on the ground as if dead when he's in the presence of the Lord. But John is given these great visions, these visions of things that are yet to come. Don't let anybody fool you to think that these things have already occurred. These have not occurred yet. However, John saw them back in that day. I mean, this has been 2,000 years when John saw them, but these are things that are going to occur in the future times. And listen, this is it's a wonderful thing. The book of Revelation Revelation, it means the apocalypse. It's what that is. It's the apocalypses, which we get our English word, the apocalypse, from. And what that means, it's an unveiling. It's a revealing. What Revelation does, it reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of God's Son to all the world. And so it's the things that are hidden in Christ. And John is privileged to see them way before they ever take place. And I'm glad that the Lord told him. He said, John, write down the things which you see in here and in these visions. He writes them down. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." Well, John's vision is a scene that is set in heaven. If you look at chapter 4 in the very beginning of it, John says that he looks and there's a door open into heaven. And the voice calls and says for him to come up hither and see these things. And so John, in his vision, in the spirit, he gets to see these things that's in heaven. So this scene that takes place is in the throne room of God's heaven. And God is sitting on the throne. That's who this is when he says, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. That's God sitting on the throne. It's his throne. But John sees God sitting there and he's holding in his right hand. And by the way, the right hand represents the power of God. And in his right hand, he's holding, John says, a book. Well, in that day that we're talking about, the books were scrolls, and they still refer to them as books. But this particular book or scroll would have been rolled up seven times, because we know there's seven seals that get broken in John's Revelation. And so what they would do, they would take and they would write down these things that were going to occur. They'd roll it once, and then they would put a seal there, a wax seal. And then they'd roll it again, and they'd have something else, and they'd wax seal. So seven times they would seal this, and then they would break them one by one. The only person that could break the seals was the one that was worthy to break them, the one that the book actually belonged to, the rightful heir to this book. And so God's holding this book in his right hand. And this book represents what you would call a legal document. And that's the way they did all the way back into the Hebrews. They would use these scrolls and they would write them on legal documents. And it would be things such as marriage contracts, rental agreements. Any type of legal document would be written on a scroll and then rolled and then sealed. And only the owner of that was able to break the seal. You may recall in the days of the kings when, for example, when King David, when he wrote the death sentence there for Bathsheba's husband, and he sealed it with his seal, and then he sent it with a messenger. Well, nobody could open it except for the man who it was intended for. And David knew that. But that's what these seals are, these books. And so here, this legal contract, of course, is the rightful heir for the Lord Jesus Christ. He inherits this earth. He takes it back. It's his. It's rightfully his. He created the earth for his own pleasure, and he's taking it back. We all know that Satan, when he entered into the garden there and he tempted Eve and she gave into the temptation, and then Adam willingly sinned against God by also taking the fruit and eating it. Well, since that time, Satan, the Bible talks about him being the prince of the world. That's one of the names the Bible calls him, the prince of the power of the air. And so Satan is ruling over this earth. I know that God is in ultimate control. He's all sovereign. And listen, Satan is like a bulldog on a leash, and God, he's not going to get to do anything that God does not allow him to do. And you say, well, that don't sound fair. Friends, I'll tell you what's not fair. What's not fair is that God allows any of us to live. What's not fair is that Jesus came and died for our sins and bled on that cross for things that we've done, because he never sinned any. That's what's not fair. And so before you start thinking God's not fair, you better think again. Well, this book here, God's holding in his hand, it's the last will and testament, and he's giving the rightful heir to the inheritance to his son Jesus, because it belongs to him, and he's taking it back. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And so make no mistake about it, friend. It's going to belong to the Lord Jesus. In fact, after all these seven seals are opened and judgment comes forth, Jesus will set up his earthly kingdom here on this earth, and he will sit on the throne of his father David for 1,000 years. That's what we refer to as the millennial reign, the millennial reign of Christ. And yes, I believe in that with all my heart, because that's what the Bible teaches. Well, One by one, these seals are broken, and a new judgment will be pronounced with every one of those. The four horsemen will ride onto the scene. We've all read about it. As God pours out His wrath and judgment upon this earth and sin and mankind. And so judgment after judgment will be coming forth from these scrolls that God has in His hand. Look at verse 2 of our text back in Revelation chapter 5. John goes on to write, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Now, my goodness, this right here, it gets me started right here when I read that. It gets me excited and it gets those chills running about this scene that unfolds in heaven. And you can only imagine how it must have felt for John as he witnessed these things with his own eyes in this vision. He must have been awestruck, friends. He says that a strong angel with a loud voice was there and proclaiming, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" Listen, this is not one of those wimpy little angels they show you on TV, all right? On TV, they want to show you, who is it, Clarence on A Wonderful Life. He's a little wimpy angel trying to earn his wings. Listen, there's no such thing as a wimpy angel, but this angel right here in particular, the Bible says, is a strong angel, and he has a loud voice, and so this is a mighty angel. He's powerful enough that everybody there, I'm sure, was shaking, or will be, when this happens, in their shoes. Well, with the type of book that this is, like I said, only the right person, the owner, is able to break the seals and open it. Only somebody holy could dare approach the right hand of God and take the book from His hand. No mortal man could do this. Not even one of these celestial beings or creations of angels are able to do this. They're not worthy enough to do it. It had to be somebody pure and holy and spotless and without blemish, somebody sinless, that would be able to take this book and break those seals. Somebody that had the authority to break the seals. In other words, the rightful owner of the book was the only one worthy to break the seals and read the contents, or even to look upon it. Look at verse 3 of our text. John writes, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Now listen, This is speaking great volumes to us tonight. No man in heaven, no created being, no angel, no man on the earth, no demons in hell are worthy enough to open this book, let alone look thereon. All of heaven and earth remain silent at this time. You probably could hear a pin drop on the floor of heaven when this event takes place. Adam didn't speak up. Abraham kept silent. Isaac and Jacob are speechless. Joseph didn't make a peep. Moses didn't even stutter when this happens. Samson can't flex his muscles. Gideon can't sound his trumpet. The 420 elders are silenced. The four beasts are holding their peace. The legions of angels cannot flutter. Friends, nobody, no one in heaven or earth or beneath it or above it is worthy to open this book. And so look what John says in verse 4. He said, "I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." So this deathly silence, as everybody's keeping their silence, John breaks the silence with his weeping. He says, "I wept not a little, I wept much." John broke down crying when he realized there was nobody there that was worthy to open this book. If nobody's worthy to open the book, what's going to become of it? What's going to become of us? Because the book must be open. Judgment must come forth. And so there has to be somebody, surely, worthy. But John's crying because nobody's worthy. And if nobody's worthy, all the preaching John's done, all of the martyrs throughout those years that's died for the cause of Christ, the being sentenced over to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the Word of God would have been useless. Friends, all the times, if there's nobody worthy to take this scroll from God's right hand, all the times that you've shared the gospel, all the many times that you've handed somebody a Bible tract, the many times we stood behind a lectern in a Sunday school class and taught the Word of God, the many times we stood behind the pulpit and preached from God's Word, all that would be for absolutely nothing if there's nobody worthy to take this scroll and open it. And so John's weeping.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Shout!